It would make sense in a series entitled Great Questions that we would focus some in the area of prayer, because there are a lot of questions we have about that great privilege that God has given us. So today and then next Sunday, we'll be trying to deal with a couple of those questions for you. Today we focus on, how can I know God is speaking? How can I identify His voice? How can I apply that to my personal life? It's such a great privilege that we can communicate with the God of the universe. That is an amazing, amazing privilege. Imagine what it was like in the Garden of Eden. If you were either Adam or Eve, and you were with God, no interruptions. Clearly, you hear what God says. Clearly, He hears what you say. It's all a wonderful relationship. There's no question. There's no lack of clarity. It's a great, great scenario. But when sin entered the picture, everything changed, didn't it? And the same is true for us today. We live in a sinful and broken world. And because of that, sometimes it's challenging to hear the voice of God. But here's what we know. God really desires to have a relationship with us. He desires to communicate with us. He wants to hear from us. He desires to communicate. So how can we know when God is speaking? Here's what we're going to try to do this morning. Here will be our main focal points of this message. First of all, how God speaks. We're going to look at the ways that He communicates with us. And then we're going to take a look at a couple of ways that you and I can communicate with God more clearly, so that those lines will be open. We can hear from Him, and we can know that He hears from us as well. And then we're also going to look at what happens when God speaks and we obey, we do the right thing, and all of the amazing blessings that come from that time when we hear and obey. So this morning, let's examine the various ways that God does speak to us. When we want to do that, we want to focus on a couple of ways, as I mentioned, that we can communicate even more clearly with Him. First, let's identify the specific ways God speaks to us. The first one happens to be the most important one, and it's this: God speaks to us through His Word. It's an amazing miracle that we have. Look at verse 13 again that was read earlier in our passage. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. Now this is Jesus saying these words. And He will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will guide you into the source of all truth. How is that truth revealed? It's revealed through the Word of God. It's a miracle that we can have a copy of that here today. Let's not take it for granted. Jesus affirms this truth in His prayer for all disciples in all ages in John chapter 17. Look at verse 17 with me. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Sanctify them by the truth." In other words, help them to grow by understanding the truth of God. And then He says, very simply, "Your word is truth." The most dependable way that you and I can hear from God is through His Word, through the Bible. So I want to ask you now, are you investing significant time in the Word of God? If you are not, you're not going to hear from God. I need to tell you that very simply. God has provided it miraculously. It is for us to read and to hear from Him. How many times do we just bypass the Word and ask for God to reveal Himself or speak in some other way? I can just fathom God saying, "Listen, I've already talked to you. It's in the Word. Read it. Invest in it." Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. All Scripture is God-breathed, right? It comes from Him. Therefore, it is truth. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can you just imagine with me a path? We can even envision that this center aisle here in our worship gathering place is the Christian path that he wants us to walk on. And when we start, we do that because he teaches us. All Scripture is profitable, useful for teaching. He shows us the right path to walk down. And then when we stumble and fall, or when we get off that path and stray, he then rebukes us. He says, hey, you're going the wrong direction. You need to get back on that path. And that's where the correction comes into place. He corrects us. He gets us back on the path. And then he gives us training in righteousness, which shows us how to stay on that path so that we can walk with him and experience the blessings of the Christ life. That is what God's word does for us. I often use a simple acrostic called HEART to show us what God's word will do for us. And all the elements of diving in deeply into the word of God. First, we hear it. Now that's what you guys are doing today. Glad you're here worshiping with us. We know we have a lot of our faith family on the road with fall break. We know some of you are guests here today from out of town. Glad you're here. You're here to listen to the Word of God. And that's an excellent thing to do. But it's not enough. It's not enough just for you to come and listen to a Bible study or to a message. You need to examine it yourself. And that's where the E comes in. Examine or read the Word of God. You need to have a plan for that. A regular, consistent plan for reading the Word of God. And then you need to go deeper than that. And that's where the A comes in. To analyze or to study God's Word. To dig deeper into His truth, because His Word is so unbelievably deep. That's what I just love about His Word more and more as I study it. Study it yourself. And then go another step. Memorize it. Remember it. Take time to memorize the Word of God, so that it can be in your mind and in your heart and in your life wherever you go. And then through the whole process, make sure you're thinking about it. You're meditating on it so that you can begin to apply it in your everyday life. And that is the key part of the word. We could almost take the letter A, the central letter in heart, and not only add analyze to it, but also add the word apply to it. Because the bottom line is not just knowing more facts about God, but it's putting it into practice in our everyday lives. And that's what's timeless about the Word of God. It is relevant for every single situation you will ever face in your life. It will speak to that. And that's what is exciting about His Word. Here's something else that's powerful. You may have followed Christ for decades and read the Bible dozens, maybe even hundreds of times. But then your circumstance changes. Your situation changes in some fashion. And then you go back to a verse or a passage you have read multiple times, and you read it, and God gives you new truth, new meaning, a new perspective that you didn't have before. Again, showing us the depth and the relevance of God's Word. The Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, reminds us of those truths, convicts us of those truths, and shows us the richness of the awesome Word of God. I cannot even put into words how incredible it is. I hope you're diving in. One beautiful way that God speaks through the Word is when it's applied to music. Do you enjoy hearing God's Word musically? I really love that. In 2 Chronicles 20, a very interesting thing is going on. The Israelites are battling Moab and Ammon, and who would have thought that music would have entered the war scene? Look at verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. Now, how's that for a warrior tactic, huh? Who would have thought of that? Sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. As they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Sound like a song you've known from the past? Many musical renditions of this verse. What was the end result of this? The enemy was soundly defeated by the word of God that was sung. So vary the ways that you digest the word of God. Certainly it's important to read it. It's great to listen to it, to study it, to hear it through music. I believe the word of God is his number one way of speaking to you and me today. And so we need to invest significant time in that. Here's another way that God communicates with us. He will speak to us through Christ-centered people that come our way. Or maybe even better, you're one of those Christ-centered people who is going out to try to share his word with others. When Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica, here's what he says in chapter 2, verse 13 of his first letter. "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God," look at this next phrase, "which you heard from us." They're the messengers. They're the ones sending the words. "You accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Sometimes God uses people to bring us his message. And those people do not always have religious titles on them, like pastor or reverend or doctor. Has nothing to do with that. He will use any of us who want to be his messengers to take the message of the word of God to others. How can that happen? Through Bible study times. Many of you were in connections classes an hour ago. You heard the word of God delivered through his messenger. Listen, today, what a great opportunity through social media to share the truth of God's word. Instead of just talking about your life, why don't you talk about the life of Jesus Christ? How about using words of encouragement for others who need to be built up and picked up? And would you love somebody enough that when they're off the path, they're off the track, you might even be God's messenger to come to them with words of loving correction? God will want to use you if you will make yourself available to them. God uses the examples and the lifestyles of Christ-centered people to bring a message to others. So my challenge to all of you here today is to be that Christ-centered messenger. It's wonderful to receive from others, but would you be willing to be his agent, his representative of taking his word to others? God wants to use you to point others toward him. Use your words redemptively. Each Christ follower also has another incredible resource that opens up as we commit our lives to Christ. God will speak to us through our thought process, through our minds. And not just any mind, but through a transformed, changed mind. We can have the mind of Christ. Paul asked a great question based on a quotation from Isaiah 40, verse 13, and then makes a strong statement in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, "For who has known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him?" But look at this next sentence. "But we have the mind of Christ." Think about that. When we are walking closely with Christ, his thoughts and his principles can become ours because we have yielded ourselves as temples of the Holy Spirit to God. Our mind is so amazing, so incredibly created, and now it can be used to receive God's word through our thought life. We'll talk about how to get better prepared for that in just a minute. But let me talk to you about another way God speaks. It's called general revelation, That's kind of the fancy term, or another simple way to refer to it is through creation. Does God speak to you through His creation? I feel like I live there every single day. Look at Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, from creation, so that people are without excuse. I call this the wow factor. I just say this often as I look to God's created world. Do you ever just sit back and look at the creation of God with this slack-jawed amazement at what He has put before us? Things we can see, some we only know a little bit about. I'm just astounded at the majestic creativity of our Creator God. It's so obvious if we'll just look. A few years ago, my wife and my grand dog came to visit us. Her name is Belle. She's a golden retriever. It was during a time our daughter was in between making a moving transition, and her dog was not able to stay with her during that time, so we took her in for a few weeks. And my mornings start early, and so when Belle was with me, I would get up before dawn. It was before light would come, and I would take her for a good walk around the neighborhood real quick so she could get out, and then bring her back in, and then get ready for my day, and then move on. And one early morning, we were out. I noticed that I was walking Belle. She would stop and look straight up into the sky. And I didn't even notice that much at first. I just thought, you know, she was just checking things out. But then I said, what in the world is she looking at? Because she did it several times. And then I looked straight up. It was a full moon. That's what she was looking at. And she's a dog that's inside most of the time, doesn't get out much at night at all. And so here is a 3 or 4 year old golden retriever blown away by the majestic creativity of our God. Listen, if a golden retriever can get the message of the glory of God, can I? Can we take it one step further than that? Let God speak to you in this short video we're going to show you about how His glory is evident through the awesome universe He has made. Look at these size comparisons. And the music is a little creepy. I'll apologize for that on the front end. Try to get the message of this video. Think about that. How would you like to pay the airfare for that trip that would take 1,100 years going basically 600 miles an hour to make one circle around that star? And this is just what's been discovered by our researchers now. There's estimates that there are 100 billion galaxies plus. And this is our Creator God. How could that just happen by chance and with the Big Bang? That takes much more blind faith than I can muster. How about you? What an awesome God we serve. There's another way God speaks, and it's through the circumstances of life. Listen to this simple testimony from the author of the 119th Psalm. It was good for me to be afflicted. Listen to that. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees, your laws, your principles. God often speaks to us through difficult times, through difficult and challenging circumstances. I don't know about you, but I have learned much more during tough times than I have during smooth and good times. Here's what C.S. Lewis said many years ago. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. That's true, isn't it? So we see multiple ways that God speaks to us. So how can we keep those lines of communication open? How can we hear him more clearly? Ironically, one of the ways to communicate with God more clearly is to grow in the discipline of being more quiet. To be a better listener, maybe, than we are even this morning. To grow the listening discipline of prayer. How are you doing in that regard? The verse in Psalm 46:10 says the following: Be still. In other words, be quiet. Listen and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, which is the ultimate goal, for God to be known everywhere. If we would just listen better, we would have more of a message to share with others who need to hear about him. The main reason we choose to be quiet is so that God will be honored, so that he will speak, so that he will be the focus. We live in such a noise-polluted world, don't we? That sometimes it's awkward for us just to be quiet. But it's in that time that we really hear from God. Do you remember how often Jesus would take time to go off to be by himself so that he could hear from God the Father? Do you remember that? How often he did that? How regularly? Do you remember the story in the Old Covenant with Elijah? How God speaks in a whisper? A still, small, quiet voice? What happens when we're quiet before God? Here are some of the things that occur. We begin to face our true self. The things that need to change come to the surface. The Holy Spirit has time to speak to us about some growth needs in our lives when we'll finally slow down and be quiet. When we get quiet, we give up control. We don't have to be hearing from others. We don't have to be talking ourselves. But we're turning things over to God. And oh, how we experience his presence in a powerful way when we will be still before him in our quiet time. And then, because we're listening, that's often the time that he will give us his next assignment for us. If we will just listen and be still before him. When we are still or quiet before God, there's something else that he will do. He will consistently remind us of our sins and our shortcomings. And that leads into the next way we can better hear from God. And that is to move towards confession. To admit our shortcomings. Not ignore them anymore. But to confess them before our Father in heaven. If we have unconfessed sin in our lives, we are not going to hear from God. We are not going to hear His voice. Listen to Psalm 66, verse 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. What does that mean? That means He confessed it. He admitted it and turned it over to God. And then, praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. Spiritually, in order to hear God's voice, we need to be clean. And we can't make ourselves clean. How do we do that? We agree. We don't cherish that sin. It doesn't mean we don't sin. We all sin. But instead of holding on to it and cherishing it, we admit it, we turn it over to God, and then we hear His voice, and then what happens? It's time to step out. And that leads to the joy of what occurs in the life of obedience. When we hear God and obey Him, here's what will happen. We are going to be stretched. We are going to grow spiritually. This is an exciting byproduct of hearing from God and being faithful to His call. We will grow. Paul hears from God. And here's the message that he shares in Acts 20, verses 22 and 23. And now, compelled by the Spirit. In other words, I don't have a choice. He's leading. I've got to go. I am going to Jerusalem. Sounds good so far. But then he says, not knowing what will happen to me there. He doesn't have a clue. But here's what he says. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. The Holy Spirit revealed this to Paul ahead of time. And what does Paul say? I'm not holding back. I'm going to be stretched. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to follow Him. Ask God to speak to you, brothers and sisters. And when He does, here's what's going to happen. He is going to give you an assignment much larger than anything you can accomplish in your own strength and power. He is going to give you a huge, God-sized assignment that can only be successful when you are broken before Him and dependent upon Him for His strength. It's not anything that you and I can do by ourselves. God wants to challenge us to grow. That's in our best interest. And when God speaks, and when we listen and obey, the ultimate happens. I mentioned that earlier. What is the ultimate? Christ is put on display. They don't see you. They don't give you the credit. They realize there's something greater than you and me, and that is our Lord God. Jesus Christ is honored and glorified when He is put on display. Look at verse 14 of our text again. He will glorify me because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you. Jesus Christ is put on display. The Holy Spirit speaks. We receive that message from God the Father. And then we act on it in obedience. And the result is God the Son is honored and glorified. The whole Trinity that we just recently talked about in one of our messages is put on display. And that's what Paul says in verse 24 of Acts 20. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim, here's my goal, is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And if the message that we receive from God does the following things, then we can know that it's from God. We can have assurance of that. What is it going to do? It's going to humble us. It's going to put us in the second seat, the second chair. What else is going to happen? Other people around us are going to be encouraged because you have brought to them and displayed to them a message from God. And in addition to that, you're going to be entering a lifestyle of ongoing sacrificing. You're going to continue to give of your time and your talents and your treasure. You're going to be more generous in the way that you live. So may 1 Samuel 3:10, this prayer, become our prayer and our life as well today. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times. He's speaking to Samuel. He says, Samuel. Says his name again, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Will that be your prayer today? Put your name into that scripture. God is coming to you with a message, a call, an assignment, a job, a task, some insight, some input from Him. Will you say, speak, God, I'm listening, and I'm your servant. He wants to say something to you right now. Will you listen? Father, our prayer is not that you would speak, because you are in so many different ways. But our prayer now is, God, help us to be tuned in, to listen to whatever you have to say. And we want to say ahead of time, like Paul did, we're going to be obedient. We're going to be faithful, even if it's tough. Even if it's hard, we're ready for that assignment, God. Show us. We are your servants. And we're listening. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I'd love to invite you, if you're okay to do this, physically fit to stand, as a symbol of your being ready to hear from the voice of God. Join me in our response time. I just want to ask you a few questions as we're preparing for this time. Are you consistently in the Word of God? Because don't ask God to speak to you if you're not. It starts there, and it needs to be a regular routine. He's ready to speak through His awesome Word. Can I say this about myself? I'm living a confessed life now. I've listened to what the Spirit has said. When He showed me the areas I've messed up in, where I fall short, then I agree. I agree with Him. And I turn that over to God, and then ask for the strength to do better next time, to grow, to repent, to be on that path so that I can hear God more clearly. And you know what I find when God speaks? Is He's not going to give you a new assignment until you're faithful in your current one. Am I being faithful now in whatever assignment, whatever task that He's given me to follow? Because if I am, then I'll be ready for the next one. And how about today, just a time of great thanksgiving? A time to thank God. I know I thank God that Richard Balfour got back safe from North Africa. We welcome you, brother, and proud of you for going out to serve in His name. Oh, did you? His son is even happy. Isn't that awesome? Now, Richard, did you let the other guys come back, or did you desert them? Are they back too?
Oh, yes, everybody made it.
Okay, good news. Because we heard some of them were sick on the front lines there. So just pray for those seeds that are planted to continue to grow to fruition. And I know that there are some of you that are traveling this week. Others are on the road. Just would you pray for them? That God would speak to them, that this would be a great time, that His hand of protection would be on them. There may be a decision that God's leading you to make today in some way to follow Him, to be baptized, to become a part of His faith family. If God's leading you here, this is your time to just listen to God. So do that in prayer. As you sing, remember, singing is a way to praise His name. It's also a way to listen to Him. It's also a time you may choose to be quiet, to listen to that still, small voice. Make it a habit. Make it a pattern. God wants to say something to you today.